Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We have been looking at the fruit of the Spirit, and we've been talking about the love of God, and it's really the agape love of God. So it's something that if we're going to produce fruit, we're going to have to cultivate the love of God, because all the fruit, the peace, the joy, kindness, gentleness, self-control, all come out of the agape love of God. So what we have to do, our position is, we have to cultivate that and work with God, and that love is produced in our hearts so we can produce the fruit. And remember, the fruit, apple trees don't eat their own apples. So fruit is for other people. So this is what we want to be working on. And so it's really important to understand, because this love is a powerful thing. Marriage is really established on the love of God, this agape love. And so something, I tell you guys, I always tell you, I read the American Psychological Association. I read that. And it's informative about relationships, about what's going on in our nation, and the soul. Remember we talked about the word languish, and it was talking about how people's souls were languishing, and there was an increase of it because of this pandemic, but it hasn't dropped any. It's still at an all-time high, this languishing. And that means to deteriorate, to decay. But we're supposed to be flourishing, because we're God's people. We're to flourish, right? And so when we're tapped into who we are and the love of God, we're gonna flourish in life. So marriage was established on the agape love of God. So the most important relationship you have on this earth is your marriage to your wife or to your husband, and how you love them with this love, this agape love. Here's the reason why. Because marriage expresses Christ and the church to the world. See that? So when people see your marriage, they ought to see something special that they're not seeing everywhere. They ought to see a love that just is being exhibited that they're not seeing it everywhere. And if they're going to take notice about this love, and it's going to have power. So here's the idea. There's five loves. I go over this a lot, but it's important. So we have a filial love, and that is a brotherly love, a friendship love. Then two would be eros love, where we get the word erotic. And it's the sexual love between a husband and a wife. And then there's storge love, which is the relational ship love in the family. And so then there's thermos, which is where we get the word thermos, keeps things warm or cold. But ultimately, it means to be compassionate. So those are the four loves, but they're all based on emotions and feelings. See that? Agape love, that's the big one. That's the supernatural love. It's superior to all those other four loves. But now hear me. When agape's in place, and you have filial love, you have a friendship love, when agape's in place, you have a friend forever. You see that? A friend that will be faithful and connected with you forever. When agape is in place over your sexual relationship, eros, your needs will be met. Your sexual needs will be met because agape is in place. It serves. It's there to submit and serve. You see that? When storge, your relationships, you see, they can't hold up under just being storge love. They'll give up and quit because the storge is not enough to hold them. But when agape is there and the storge is in place, you have relationships like unbelievable that will last forever as well. And thermos, you're gonna be compassionate for people. When agape is there, unbelievable. You'll be compassionate towards people in church, at work, wherever you go, because agape is over it. Are we making sense? So agape is the goal, and this is what God has created us for. This is what was back in the garden. Now listen to me. I was reading about how marriages are failing, and over 50% are ending up in divorce. 80% are unfulfilled. They're unhappy because agape's not in there. When agape's ruling up in there, they're going to be happy. They're going to be fulfilled. They're going to be blessed. Let me help you out here. Remember, 2 Timothy 3:4 says, in the latter days, men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This word pleasure is the word hedonism. And it's the highest level of selfishness you can attain. Hedonism. That's what pleasure is talking about. It's all about me, 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 me. Now, God has called you and I and created and has a plan for us to do his purpose. In 2 Timothy 1:8, it says that he has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. So God has a purpose for your life before you even showed up on the planet. And when you understand that, that purpose should be priority. But here's the problem. The priority is pleasure. When the priority is pleasure, the purpose is not being fulfilled. God has created you and I to flourish for his purpose. Listen to me. And it's going to take your and I understanding wisdom from him, from God. Now think about this. In 1 Corinthians 2:7, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for your glory. There's a wisdom, and the word glory means what God originated and intended. You need God's wisdom to become what he originated and intended your life to be. You need his wisdom. Without his wisdom, you'll mutate into something he didn't design. You got to stay with me now. In Proverbs 4:7, it says this, wisdom is the principal thing. In all you're getting, this is talking about the wisdom of God. There's conventional wisdom, which is from man and the world. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the wisdom of God. He says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. In all you're getting, get understanding. Get understanding of what? His wisdom. When you get understanding of his wisdom, you see, listen to me. When you put pleasure over his purpose, you're violating the principles he established to carry out his purpose. See that? So now, that's why there's so many problems in marriage, because you're not carrying out his purpose. God designed you to have paradise. When you have his principles in place, they help you carry out his purpose. See, when you don't know the purpose of a thing, abuse is inevitable. Pay attention. When we understand he's established these principles for us to carry out his purpose. You see, when you know the purpose of your marriage, you're going to treat that spouse with extra. You're going to put a little extra on it. Are you listening to me? When you're in the agape, there's power. Your children are going to want what you have when you have agape up under the roof. But when those principles are violated, they're not going to want what you got. You see that? Think about this. The devil knows he doesn't have to destroy you. He just has to keep you uninformed regarding the principles God has established to protect you and his covenant of the agape love. You see that? If he can keep you away from understanding those principles, you can't operate in them, and you'll destroy yourself. Am I making sense? This is significant, folks. When we understand this, you're going to want to grow. You're going to want to mature in the things of God. Because his love, there's nothing compares to his love. Nothing. You want power? It's in his love. You want grace, mercy? It's in his love. Agape. All right. So we're going to look at Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We're going to hang out on this love, the agape love. And so here's what I'm trying to help you see. There's some things, in order to get to love, sometimes we have to stop doing something. Sometimes you have to stop something to get something. See that? If you're unhealthy and you keep having to change your britches and get bigger belts and whatever, maybe you just have to say, okay, maybe I need to stop something. Change some habits. Sometimes you have to stop something to get to the best. And so that's what we're talking about today is Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Putting away, he had to stop some things in order to get to the maturity God was calling him to. So, 1 Corinthians 13:5. So last week we talked about this love and what we don't want to do. We're going to stop doing. So we talked about, it says love does not parade itself in verse 4 of this chapter, verse 13. Love does not parade itself, it is not puffed up. It was talking about pride. So pride can stop the flow of God's love through you, your own pride. Does not parade itself. What happens is, when you parade yourself, you're bragging and boasting about something. You know, it's nice to be in a room full of people and not have to tell them everything you've done and what you're doing. You know, I like to be I can be a nobody and a do nothing in a room full of people and be just as happy because I don't have to prove anything. That's the agape flowing. You ever get in a room full of a bunch of men, Sean?
I got me a new this. Well, we're getting ready to get this. We're going to move here. We got that. I got this.
Am I making sense? We always want to prove something. See, that's pride. It stops the love of God from flowing in our life. Now think about this. If you want power, you keep that love flowing, agape, the unconditional love flowing, and it releases power on your life. In Deuteronomy 8, the Israelites were boasting and bragging and parading themselves. They said, our power and might are of our hand, and we gained it. We gained this wealth. Verse 18, he says, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is in this day. God wants his people to remember that power comes from him, not from their own efforts. And power is always, always to benefit and assist and help other people. Did you hear me? It's not for you to stand up and tout how great you are. You see this? It's always to benefit people. It says in Acts 10 that Jesus was anointed with power to go about healing all who were oppressed of the devil. You see, power comes to help other people. Always, always. Paying attention? You want to raise your children to be control freaks. Because in the garden, that's what they were. They had power. They had power. Adam and Eve had power before they fell from grace. They had power. They were autonomous. They were self-governing. The word self-control is the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, the love of God. Self-control. You want to raise your child so when they leave the nest, they're not always coming back because they need money. You want to raise your child, you don't have to call him up to see if he's made his bed. You don't have to check on him to see if they're eating. They know how to eat. They know what to do to go to work, to get up and accomplish what God is calling them to. They're autonomous. And that helps them reign. See, God wants you to reign in life. And that comes from the governing of the Holy Spirit. Are we making sense? And that's the way he wants you to raise your children. You can't do that apart from the agape love. Are you catching this? The agape love calls them to that. And they will walk that out. My kids, when my kids have left, they've not, not one time have they asked me to borrow money or to pay their rent. Not once. I would have. I always told them, if you ever need anything, you call me. You know I'll be there. My son used to call me and get a flat tire. You always told me to call you before he left. You always told me you'd be there for me. I'd be out there helping him get his flat tire fixed. You see that? Buy him a new tire. Yeah, I do. Angie said, Daddy, you said you'd call me. You know, I'd call you, and I'd go get her and take, you know, you understand? But when they left, not once. Are we making sense? And they still call me to this day. And we talk. I was on the phone with my daughter for over an hour the other day. I get energized when I talk to them. They're doing things that I know only God is helping them with. Am I making sense? And I taught them one husband, one wife for life. You see that? My son was a virgin.
Well, how do you know?
Because we talked. I taught him. I wasn't a virgin because I wasn't a believer when I got married. I wasn't a believer, so that stuff wasn't a big deal to me. I taught him. He and his wife are the only ones they've ever been with. Angie, married, he's the only one she's ever been with. Because I taught her. Covenant. And I was raised in a house where there wasn't a whole lot of agreement going on. I mean, I raised them in a house that way. But I had covenant love moving and flowing. And they still want it. Am I making sense? When you're in covenant love, it's not about reciprocating back. It's about unconditional. It's about your will fulfilling God's will. And that's the love of God. You see that? And that's where the power is on your life. And you'll be protected in that. Let's look at it. Agape love is unconditional. There's a difference between a love that obeys and a love that enslaves. There's a difference between a love that obeys and a love that enslaves. Enslaved love is subjective and conditional. It is only committed to something as long as the participants hold up their end of the bargain. You catch that? That's contractual love. That will always warrant and foster an argument and contention and strife. When you don't hold up your bargain, see, that's those other four loves that will fail when you need them the most. When you have covenantal love, that's the agape love. Now listen, agape love, however, does not look for reciprocity. It does not expect 50-50. Instead, it makes a decision to love God by treating all people the same way that Christ treats them in this world. See that? Agape is an unselfish, unconditional, unconquerable benevolence. There is nothing you can do to conquer it and nothing you can do to stop it. It is a decision to seek the highest good for others and to seek to do what is in a person's best interest, whether they reciprocate that love or not. It is not predicated on feelings and emotions. It is a love of the will. Your will fulfilling God's will. And it produces that agape love. This is what we don't want to do. Love does not behave rudely. Don't you like to be around rude people? But you know, you're going to bump into them, right? And so you're supposed to be kind and loving towards even rude people. You're not supposed to be. See that? It's this Greek word, A-S-C-H-E-M-O-N-O-E-O. I said it, so there you go. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. Listen to what it means. This is the word for rude in Greek. It means to act in an unbecoming manner. It's a person who is tactless or thoughtless. A person who is careless and inconsiderate of others. It is a person who's rude and discourteous. Harsh language, brutal, insensitive, and unkind. When you're in that, you're failing the love test. See that? So God doesn't want you to be rude and crude people to others. If you see that you have fallen short of this high level of love, this agape, God wants you to possess and exhibit his love wherever you go. The Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts even now because he's trying to help us understand that we're not to be rude. Now, rude is steeped in pride, parading itself and seeking its own. Listen to me. Give me 1 Corinthians 5:2 real quick. And you are puffed up. Remember, love is not puffed up. Love does not pray. Puffed up means pride, full of pride. Now look. And you are puffed up. Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church about their pride. He says, you're puffed up. Now look. Puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. What deed? Sexual immorality. Having sex outside of marriage. So he was correcting them. They were having sex outside of marriage. Pride thinks it can have sex outside of marriage. And it brings destruction. Because God established marriage, remember? One man and one woman. Forever. And you know, that's not my case. But I'm under the covenant now. And as though it never happened. You understand? Come on, that's why I can help you out with this. Just making sense. So if you're here and that's not you, it can happen. That's good news of the gospel. The gospel's news is too good to be true. Watch this. Give me 1 Corinthians 8:1 real quick. Now, concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. knowledge is puffed up, full of pride. But what? Love edifies. Agape. Love will always build up and encourage the person they're connected to. Always. Doesn't criticize and tear down and fault find and look for ways to bring them down. Edifies. It builds them up. It encourages them. See that? Always. Now, we must allow the Holy Spirit to start this process of transforming you and me into the image of Jesus. We must not stop until we think, speak, act, and walk and talk like Jesus, because he's our example. Back to 1 Corinthians 13:5, real quick, talking about what love does not do. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Now, this word seek is the Greek word zeteo. This is what it means. It means to seek, and it was used to depict a person who is so upset about not getting what he or she wanted that they turn to the court system to sue or to demand what they were striving to obtain. Instead of taking no for an answer, this person is so intent on getting his or her own way that they will search, seek, and investigate, never giving up on their pursuit to get what they want. In fact, they are so bent on getting their own way that they will twist facts, look for loopholes, put words in other people's mouths, and try to hold others accountable for promises they never made. They will focus on little administrative mistakes and little problems. They will focus on them and twist the facts to turn their situation into a benefit for themselves. Now think about this. Manipulation. You'll do anything to control or dominate to get what you want. That's why you want your kids to be control freaks. So if they want something, they're going to have to work and get it themselves. And everything that goes with the development with that. Making sense? All right. Paul had the image of manipulating, scheming person in mind. Have you ever encountered a person who schemed and manipulated all the time to get what they wanted? Paul is helping us to understand agape does not do this. Agape is not scheming and manipulating. It is not dishonest and untruthful to get your own way. To always be after your own way is simply wrong. If you can't get it honestly and state what you think or what you want and say it honestly, speaking half-truths and white lies in operating in a secret agenda is not the way agape functions and behaves.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.